Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Matthew chapter 21, verse 7, 8, and 9. This is the NIV reading. And they brought a donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. You think Living Way is expressive in their worship? People were taking off their cloaks, their jackets, their shirts. The ones that didn't have anything to take off or anything they were willing to take off, they started ripping down branches from the trees. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." It's important what they call him here. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." I've got just three words that I want to just share for the next 20-some minutes, and that is palms, praise, and presence. Palms, praise, and presence. Turn to your neighbor and tell him when Jesus shows up, everything changes. Amen. You may be seated. Palm Sunday is a Christian holiday that occurs the Sunday before Easter. It is the mark or the marking, the beginning of Holy Week. And here in San Antonio, because of the Catholic family and the Catholic believers in our city, and can I tell you that I love our Catholic friends? We differ on some very important truths, but one thing I love about Catholics is they believe in the sanctity of life. They believe that life begins at conception. Can I just throw this out here, and I know it's not going to be popular, but can I just tell you that abortion is murder? I thought I'd get a better amen. Am I in the right church today? Abortion is murder. Let me tell you that abortion and the thoughts that God has about abortions, those have not evolved. Abortion is not a political platform. Pro-life, pro-choice is not a political platform, because the Bible says, "Before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I knew thee. I sanctified and I set you apart for a reason." And so when we talk about these words and we talk about life and how life begins, and we talk about in San Antonio, our Catholic friends who believe in the sanctity of marriage and pro-life and believing in life, it's important that we rally with people who believe the same things we believe. And I shared this on social media, and I didn't get as much reaction as I thought. I thought I'd get negative and positive reaction. There's way too many people boycotting too many things. And we hear one thing, and then, "Well, I'm going to boycott that." I had a friend of mine, because of all of the Disney controversy. And I'm going to tell you, this is my thoughts on the Disney controversy. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. So you're going to see me at Disney World eventually. And I'm going to be riding rides, drinking frozen lemonade. That doesn't mean that I espouse everything. So a friend of mine says, "Well, I'm boycotting Disney." He's an avid sports fan. I said, I'm just going to warn you, that's a road you're probably not going to want to walk down. He said, "Why is that?" I said, "Because Disney is one of the most powerful companies in the world. They own everything." I said, "ESPN, you can never watch it again. Disney owns ESPN. Disney owns Fox. Disney owns Marvel. All your superheroes. Disney owns Star Wars. No more of that. Disney owns ABC." And so when I did that, he started walking back, because he was making these claims about what he was against. And this is what I told him, and then this is what I put on social media. I'd rather be known for what I'm for than what I'm against. And so I'm not against abortion, I'm for life. Isn't that a better way of saying it? I'm for every baby having the chance to be born. I am for every marriage being what God has created it to be. I am for prosperity. I am for healing. I am for favor. I am for... And so when I talk about Holy Week, and getting back to my point about my Catholic brothers and sisters, that they put too much emphasis on Mary, and all of the emphasis they put on Mary, I put on Jesus. But they love to talk about the blood of Jesus. And so here in San Antonio, to bring my point home, we are in a city where Holy Week is special. We are in a city that a few days ago, we saw people all around our city with ashes on their forehead to signify Ash Wednesday. We're in a city where they will literally depict the crucifixion, and thousands of people will show up downtown to see a reenactment of the greatest act of love that has ever been made when Jesus went to the cross. And so when we talk about triumphant entry, we are talking about the beginning of a week that changes everything. Because there is no resurrection without a crucifixion. And there is not a crucifixion unless Jesus had enough faith in that moment to say, hey, I'm going to hit Jerusalem up. And I know what stands in Jerusalem is a cross with my name on it. But I will gladly go to the cross, lay down my life, because I know what it's going to do for millions of future sons and daughters. And can I tell you that if all he did was for San Antonio and Living Way Church, he would have went to the cross for the few hundred people in this room today. But I love Jesus to know that he did it for billions, but he would have done it for the one. So we're marking the beginning of Holy Week, the remembrance of Jesus' final days towards the cross. The celebration, this celebration commemorates Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And it's mentioned in all four Gospels. All Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record this moment, this day called the triumphant or the triumphal entry. Jesus entered the city knowing he would be tried and crucified, but he also knew that he would resurrect with all power over death, hell, and the grave. It is why years later, Paul would be able to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Can I encourage somebody that's lost a family member due to COVID, or you've lost a family member recently and they were a believer, that all of death and all of hell's, what they had has been robbed. That power has been robbed, because they might not be alive on this earth anymore, but as believers, we are going to see them again. That is why we don't call them funeral services. We call them celebrations of life. Why? We remember what they were when they were on this earth, and then our mind fast forwards to know that their bodies are perfected and we will see them again. So we call this the triumphant entry. Triumphant, in its very definition, means having achieved victory. Triumphant means rejoicing over success. Can I tell you that one of the greatest flexes that Jesus ever did was on that side of the cross? He threw a party when he was coming into town. Because he knew it doesn't matter what transpires over the next 7 days. I'm coming out of that grave. It's the reason that before the cross, he's rejoicing over the success of the resurrection. Before the cross and crucifixion, he is talking about the victory that he achieved on the cross. Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, it almost seems out of place. It feels like the timeline is off. If you or I were writing this story, the triumphant entry would happen after he's resurrected up to the hillside where he's going to be ascended from, but not Jesus. Why? Because he knows the end from the beginning. He said, we can celebrate now because I'm only going to spend 72 hours in that grave. We can go ahead and shout now because whatever happens on that cross, that's not the end. That is the beginning of something beautiful. Have you ever received bad news and you just started laughing, smiling, shaking your head? That's why I'm out in my faith. When the devil shows up and he tries to say something, tries to do something, and you just start laughing and you're like, oh my goodness, why do we do that? Because we've got enough faith in Christ that it doesn't matter what it looks like today, doesn't matter what we're going through, we know, oh grave, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? I know that if God has done everything he did to get me here, what you are fighting against, you know something that we all know, that God is getting ready to do something in me, for me, with me, and through me. And sometimes you just got to shake your head and say, bring me all you've got. I know there might be a cross in front of me. I know there might be some uncomfortable things in front of me, but for the joy set before me, I will endure this so I can get to that. That's why we call it triumphant. How many people in the room you used to play high school sports, just wave at me, or college sports, just wave at me. We all had those teams that we knew we were going to slaughter. It's called homecoming night. You didn't make your homecoming game against the district powerhouse. You made your homecoming game against the person you knew that you were going to wipe the court or the field with. Why? Because there's a party after the game. And nobody wants to go to the party after they've lost. Jesus shows up. And it's not a march to death like we would do it. Come on now. We have all been around people who have received a bad report from the doctor. And they start talking negative. Well, I better get my affairs in order. Well, I better enjoy this Christmas. It might be my last. Well, we better. And they're mad about what's in front. They're sad about what's in front of them. But for those of us that remember what it was like in high school, you weren't worried about winning. You were already talking about who was going to score the most points, who was going to do this, how bad we were going to beat them. You were already talking about your fit check for homecoming dance and what I'm going to be wearing and what we're going to be doing, and I can't wait. You've already moved past what was in front of you because you knew you were already going to win. And so I'm sure that when the triumphant entry starts, don't you know that when Jesus woke up that week, Satan thought, oh man, what a week. I've got him where I want him. I'm going to make his life miserable. I'm going to kill, steal, and destroy this so-called church and this so-called plan of worshipers to replace me. All of that is coming to naught. Don't you think when he saw Jesus say, hey, get me a donkey and get that donkey ready because I'm getting ready to ride into the city, not of my death. I'm getting ready to ride into the city of my resurrection. Come on. There is no resurrection unless there's a death. That's why when the devil attacks me, I say, hey, get the donkey ready. Why? I'm not looking at what I'm going through. I'm looking at what God has called me to, and I'm already talking resurrection. I've stood here as a pastor in this building for 15 or 17 years and the building next door for 21 years, and I've stood and I've spoken at funerals, and I've been pastor long enough where I've eulogized great men and women that I had a connection with. And so they asked me to prepare remarks and a eulogy. And can I just tell you that I don't want to make it a sad affair. We talk about the good times, but we always end not talking about where they are. We already start talking about where they went. We start talking about they might not be alive here, but they are alive somewhere. I'm talking to somebody that 2022 has been your year of crucifixion. It's been your year of a death march. It's been your year where things have been stolen from you. It's been your year where things have been taken from you. It's been your year where people have come against you and have attacked you. Can I encourage you? Quit looking at all of that and realize that there's a resurrection with your name on it. There is a coming back to life for you. Don't you know that when they start taking off their robes and they start ripping branches off, and they're saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Don't you know that the devil is confused and perplexed because of what is happening? Which leads me to this point. It's not in my notes, but it's going to hit your heart. That when you praise God in the middle of it, and I don't know what it is, but when you worship God in the middle of mess, when you worship God in the middle when things aren't going right, the devil said, man, I thought I had him on the death march. Man, I thought I had him crucified. What is this? They know something that I don't know. My friend Rob here on the front row, he just turned 33, and I told him what someone told me that when I turned 33, some smart aleck said, you know, that's the year of crucifixion, 33. I said, you need to check yourself. It's also the year of resurrection. This is my year of coming back. This is my year of new life. This is my year of going higher. You say, man, I feel like I've got one foot in the grave. Don't worry. Jesus had his whole body in the grave. You said, man, it feels like it's over. Oh, it was over by science standards. It was over by medical standards. It was. They had put him in the grave. They had eulogized him, and nobody was at the tomb. And for 3 days, his body laid in there. But Jesus went out the back of the tomb, and he went to death. Hell, he went to hell to take the keys back to death, hell, and the grave. And when the stone was rolled away, here comes Jesus. You're worried about your 1 foot in the grave. Jesus showed us you can be in the grave, you can not breathe for 3 days, and you can come back. I know it's been a couple tough years. I know maybe it's been a couple tough months, but I'm here to tell you, resurrection has just made its way into the city. Resurrection has just made its way into your heart. That's why we praise like we praise. They didn't know it. But this is the perfect illustration of a sacrifice of praise. They praised Jesus for his kingship, thinking he was finally coming to his city to set up his kingdom. Oh, he was. Just not the way that you thought he was. Jesus said, on my way to my throne, there's a cross. On my way to my throne, there's going to be some ridicule. On my way to my throne, there's going to be some betrayal. On my way to my throne, there's going to be some mess. There's going to be some stuff. There's going to be all of this going on. And you don't recognize that God is taking you to something great because of all the stuff that you're going through. But can I just remind you, if your life is perfect and you're skipping through the daisies, you ain't going nowhere but in circles. But for some of us who've got a testimony that I faced hell and won, that cancer tried to take me out but it didn't, pornography tried to steal my marriage but it didn't, depression tried to slow me down but it couldn't, I'm on my way to resurrection. I know I'm gonna win. I'm on my, turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm on my way to resurrection. Why is this week called triumphant? Why is this week celebratory? Not because of the start, church. We've heard all of our lives, it's not how you start. How you start is important. But you might have not had the best start. Some of you are first generation believers. And I want to applaud you. Because I know everything I had to go through to get a real relationship with God. And I had Holy Ghost filled grandparents and parents and a church like this that I've grown up in. But I applaud those of you that you're the first generation of believers from your family, because you had to get through a whole lot of stuff to get where you are today. Sometimes it isn't how you start. Sometimes you rise above how you start. How you start is important, but it's not the be-all, end-all. It's triumphant not because of the beginning of it, not because of the middle of it, but because of the end. I preach from this text every year since I've been preaching, 22 years. And I've never thought about it from the aspect of it's triumphant because they're looking past all of what is going to transpire, and they're already knowing there's a resurrection on the other side of what I'm going through today. I look at people in this room, and I look at my friends on the second row, and he's actually running lights or something today, but Brian, who beat cancer 3 years ago, and we celebrate that, and I will herald and I will celebrate that until the day I die, because I live with this family and I walked with this family through this. And I'm gonna tell you, not that they never had down days, bad days, or days where they didn't know if it was going to happen. I'm here to tell you, they never showed that in my presence. They were always smiling. God is going to do it. I remember them giving us testimony, driving straight from chemo, straight to church, because Brian wanted to be in the house of God. I am here to tell you, it's easy for us to look back and say, oh yeah, God is good, and Brian had his resurrection moment. But on the other side of the crucifixion, on the other side of the cancer, when the doctors are saying, hey, I don't know what we're going to be able to do, for you to be able to stare down death's gun barrel and say, I'm going to make it through this, because this is not not where my story ends. I'm excited about what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with because I know there's a resurrection. It's not the beginning, not the middle. It's the resurrection. It's what's at the end. The rest of your life can be the best of your life. If Jesus is your anchor, faith is your focus, worship is your weapon. Isn't it amazing that just a few days after this, the same people that said Hosanna are now witness to his crucifixion? The same people that said Hosanna, blessed is he that comes, they were there at the vote. Jesus or Barabbas, and some of the same people that said, blessed is he who come, now scream, crucify him. Isn't it funny how people change? And if they'll change on Jesus, they will change on you. But this is what I love about this story. It doesn't matter if they applaud you or shout crucify. There is always a crucifixion and there is always a resurrection. I don't know who's been coming at you in 2022, but let them chirp and let them talk. Let them hate and let them praise. Let them criticize and let them gossip. It doesn't matter what's coming out of their mouth, because if they're fans, there's still a crucifixion. If they're haters, there's still a crucifixion, but they're also still a resurrection. No matter what they say. Jesus knew, I love this, Jesus knew walking into Jerusalem that he was going to walk out of the grave. I love that. Can I tell you, you say, how does that, because that's inspirational, right? That's a tweetable something. Can I give you some practicality to that now? When you go for your next doctor's appointment, I'm walking into this hospital and I'm walking out of this hospital. The next time you find yourself maybe in an ambulance, I might have been carried in this ambulance, but I'm gonna walk out of the hospital. I walked into this valley, I'm walking out of this valley. I walked into the storm, I'm walking out of the storm. And the reason why Jesus, in this moment of celebration, they are waving and heralding his arrival. He's not sweating the crucifixion yet. He gets there, he's not sweating it because he knows there's a resurrection. And when I walk into Jerusalem, I'm walking out of the grave. Jesus knew walking up the hill of Golgotha with the cross on his back to the place of his crucifixion that he would walk up the hill to the place of his ascension. You've got to be able to see past right now. That's why I think, and I'm on Wednesday nights, we've just started a sanctified series. I'd love to see you there. But that's why I love when we talk about perspective, and we talked about it at the end of Wednesday night. That's why I love perspective. That's why I talk to God about my situation. Why? Because he sits high and looks low. Sometimes I can't see my next because my now is so big and so nasty. And so I need to pray and get his perspective. And he can whisper to you, hey, you only got 2 days left of this nonsense because come Wednesday, we're going through. Come Tuesday, we're going through. And so perspective. And so here he is, knowing that there's a cross and a bloody death, humiliating death in front of him, but yet he enjoys the celebration going to it because he knows that he's going through it in Jesus' name. That is why we as believers put our faith in Jesus no matter what. That's what Hebrews 12:2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That is why we stand on the word. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, two of my all-time favorite scriptures, favorite verses, but it's new life when you understand where they're coming from. Joseph, what they tried to murder Joseph. His own brothers, his own family tried to murder him, but he stayed faithful to God and to Jehovah in those moments. And he said, I know that whatever I'm going through, I'm going to make it. Why? Because God's given me a dream, and my dream is what keeps my sanity because of what God has shown me about my future. It's the reason Paul would say in Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. When you're on a purpose walk, when you're on a purpose plan, when you're living a purpose life, the things in front of you are not greater than the things inside of you. The things in front of you pale in comparison to the things that God has a month ahead, a year ahead, a decade ahead. That is why we can walk victorious into any situation and say we've got the victory. That is why we can walk onto any battlefield and declare victory before we've ever fought. That is why we call it triumphant. We know whatever we walk into, we know we're walking out of. Jesus' triumphant entry was the fulfillment of at least two Old Testament prophecies. Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding on an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Here in Zechariah, thousands of years before, gives us a glimpse of Jesus riding on this donkey. David would write in the 118th Psalm, verse 26, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." Now going to our original text, Matthew chapter 21. I've just got a few moments left. Verse 6, "And the disciples went and did just as Jesus commanded them." And that command was to go and get this colt that had never been ridden before. And let me tell you, of all of the miracles in the Bible, this one speaks to me because I know what it means for a horse to never having been ridden before to be ridden by Jesus through a crowd of people that are shouting, screaming, dancing, and hitting the donkey in the face with palm branches. That's a miracle. I've been kicked in the face, 39 stitches. I've had 7 ribs broke by a double barrel mule kick from a horse. I know what that's like. And Jesus said, "I'm going to sit on it." You know why I love about that? Is because when Jesus sat on that donkey, he whispered into the donkey's ear, "I created you, act right." Which is why you want Jesus to show up in your life, because Jesus can be like, "I created you, act right." Then he can speak to your situation. "I created this, act right, live right, be right, do right, speak right, give right." That's just for free. That's not even in the notes. Verse 7. "And they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon." The disciples took off their cloaks, put it on the donkey's back, and Jesus sat down on it. They took what was, I love how God talks to me through his scripture. They took what was on their back and let Jesus sit on it. Church, I don't know what you're carrying, but you need to get it off your back and let Jesus sit on it. Let Jesus deal with it. I don't know what bitterness you have. Get that thing off your back. Get it from around your neck. It's going to drown you. I don't know what depression you're dealing with. I don't know what unforgiveness. I don't know what you're carrying from your past, but that is that's a heavy weight. And Jesus said, "Hey, I'll carry it for you. I'll sit on it for you. I'll take that thing to the cross, but I don't want you. You've got to get it off your back before I can sit on it." Verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and scrawled them in the way. Every place that donkey's foot touched, it was on either a palm frond or on a garment. Their praise paved the way for Jesus to go through crucifixion to get to resurrection. Doesn't matter whether you're in the crucifixion season of your life or the resurrection season of your life. Your praise paves the way. Your worship creates a way. That's why on Sunday mornings it's important, but it's so much more important on Monday afternoon and on Tuesday at 4 o'clock and on Thursday at 6 o'clock. Why? Because God wants a way paved in your life every single day. I preached about it a couple years ago, but when you praise, you're like those air traffic controllers. You're "I need you to land right here. God, this is where I need, right here, this marriage. Come on in. Let's go. I need you." You go over to your kid's bedroom. "God, right here, I need you to land. I need you to sit on him. I need you to sit on her. God, I need you right now." We're going through that uncomfortable season where we're going through the cutting and the crucifixion, but I know there's a resurrection. Verse 9, "And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Luke's account in chapter 19, verse 39. "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus answered and said, I tell you, if they hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I don't get offended because offended is a choice. But the closest thing I get offended to is that there are buildings filled with people today that call themselves churches. That they played music and call it praise. Oh, it's getting quiet. You're in the right church. We're not talking about us. That when the music shifted from fast to slow, that was worship. When a pastor stood up, sat on a stool, and shared three healthy tips to a great marriage, they called it preaching. And they go to brunch today, and they say, boy, did we have church. No, you didn't. You had a country club meetup that checked a box off for you and made you feel better about yourself because you knew mama and grandma were going to ask you next Easter Sunday, honey, you been going to church? Oh, I've been going to church. I've got an issue. Ooh, I don't know if I should go there. I got an issue with churches when demon possession shows up in the middle of a church service and the pastors don't know what to do and the so-called elders and deacons don't know what to do. I'm like Bishop Jakes. I will cast them out, and if I can't cast them out, I will incarcerate them and get them out the room. The devil has no authority. When you show up to worship, it should change things. Worship is not a song. Worship is an attitude. Praise is not what you say. Praise is a lifestyle. Give me one more minute. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Because I said all that to say this. The world, and listen, Living Way has a reputation, right? We're crazy. Man, they speak in tongues over there. They roll in the floor. Man, when I was growing up, you think we're crazy now. When I was growing up, there was a gentleman that used to do complete standing backflips. His name was Christopher. I'm talking about over and over and over again. There wasn't anybody within 10 feet of him because they're afraid of getting kicked. Sister Aurora Alonzo, Sister Chris is watching. She's on vacation in Port A right now. Her mother, all 4'9" or 4'10" of her, she would run the building. Sister Alita Longoria, who I think is probably here right now, would run the building. Brother Lauren Adams, run the building. And people say, that's too much. So what you're saying is it's okay to do it for a gold medal. But it's not okay to do it for the blood of Jesus, for the blood of Jesus and the God that shed that blood. This is the point. They're going to put it on the wall. Take a picture. It'll last longer. They're never, the problem that they have with us is never our expression of worship. It's our direction of worship. You know why I know that? Because they'll do the same things we did in here at 11 o'clock at the Oscars, at the Grammys, at a Kansas City Chiefs game, at a Spurs game. They'll act crazier at a high school football game for a bunch of 15-year-olds throwing some pigskin around. But then when we do it in church, they're like the Pharisees. This is too much. You need to quiet down. No, I have no problem with your expression there, but I would never give there what I would not give here. And Jesus always gets the best. If I do it there, I better be louder here. I better be more expressive here. That's why I jump. That's why we lift our hands. That's why we yell. That's why we cry. One of my favorite secular bands, I've been to see them 4 times live. And if you turned off the band, it looks like a Sunday morning service. Because there's people high as a kite. They're jumping. They're screaming out names. Yes! This is the best night of my life. And they're the same people that when we do it for Jesus, it's too much. Calm down. Wait a minute. You were screaming his name. He don't know you. You paid to be here and he won't even talk to you. I'm talking about a God that when I call on him, 8 billion people in this world, and he comes at my doorstep, at the foot of my bed, in my truck, he is worthy of praise. And as long as I'm alive and living ways in existence, the stones will never cry out. The stones will never take my job. God has done so much for me. His crucifixion and resurrection means life for me. It means I can make it through the cutting seasons of my life. Two more scriptures. Jesus went into the temple of God, cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of thieves. Praise paved the way for his presence. But I love what Jesus does. Jesus clears the room of everything that is not conducive for a transformation. He says, you're exchanging things. That's why the apostles would say in the book of Acts, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to you. Jesus said, clear out the doves. Clear out all of the things you're selling. Why? Because I'm getting ready to heal. I'm getting ready to deliver. I'm getting ready to set free. And I want to open this altar right now for those of you in this room that you need Jesus to make a triumphant entry into your life, into your situation, into your marriage, into your job, into your mental state, into the depression you're struggling with. Whatever it is, Jesus is about to walk into your life. He's about to walk into your life. He's going to do it. Come on, let's celebrate him as they come. They're leaving their seats. Come on, this is a long road sometimes of redemption. Come on, they've been fighting, some of them few years, few months, and they need some encouragement to walk these 50 steps to say, hey, and let me just encourage you, as you walk these steps, Jesus is walking into your life. As you come down, Jesus is coming down. As you make room for him, he's making room for you, saying, this is your moment. I know you've been enduring. I know there's some things going on around you. I know the crucifixion is real. I know that people have turned their backs against you. I know that you've lost hope. I know that your faith is being shaken. I know that worry is making you waver. But I am here to tell you today that your praise, that your worship, that your hands uplifted, that you in an altar, you are making room for Jesus. And the greatest triumphant entry that was made 2,000 years ago, we are running that one back, and he's coming back again. He's coming back for believers. But I've got good news. We call that the rapture. But before he comes back the second time, he's going to show up in your life right here, right now. Give him praise. Give him worship. Yeah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Our praise creates presence. Our praise paves the way. Our praise paves the way. I'm out of time, and I don't want to share all of her story because it's her story. But I prayed with a young lady on Wednesday night. And I prayed for her on Thursday. And I prayed for her on Friday. I prayed for her on Saturday. I prayed for her this morning. And I prayed because what she's going through is real. It's raw. It's something that I've declared that we're going to be able to be that hope for somebody. And I've cried real tears. Because the crucifixion season, listen, none of us can go to a cross, but we've all got a cross to bear, the Bible says. Pick up your cross. So when I say crucifixion, you can't die on a cross. I can't do it. We're imperfect. Jesus is the only one that could, and it's already done. But you go through those seasons where it feels like people are nailing your hands. People are putting the spear in your side. So, man, I've cried real tears. This morning in our meeting before this service, I tried to hold it together, but as I was sharing with our team about what God is doing in this season of Living Way, I broke down and cried again, real tears. Why? Because we're talking to a real God about real life. And I didn't know that right when I left that meeting and walked out to the lobby that young lady was good. The lady I've been praying for 4 days was going to come up to me and say, hey, remember a few weeks ago when I told you I wanted to be saved and then I never came down? She said, I wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it for my family, so I didn't want to make that choice. But she said, today I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ.